You are listening to benefit from the Bible. The Bible is God's word of truth to show us our need for Jesus, to save us through Jesus, and to show us how to live for Jesus. If you have questions or needs, please let us know. The soldiers now had charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out of the city to a place called Skull Hill, in Hebrew, Golgotha. As they led him away, they laid hold on Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus, who was coming in from the country. On him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. Following him was a great company of people and of women who bewailed and lamented him. Jesus turned to them and said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. The days are surely coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things with a green tree, what will happen with a dry one?" There were also two others, criminals, whom they led along to be put to death with him. When they came to the place called Golgotha, they gave him wine mixed with gall to drink, but when he tasted it, he would not drink it. It was the third hour, thus 9 o'clock in the morning, and there they crucified him. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The two criminals they also crucified with him, one on his right, the other on his left, with Jesus in the middle. The scripture was then fulfilled, which says, "And he was numbered with the transgressors." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they cast lots to divide his clothes and decided what each should take. They made four parts, one for each soldier. There remained his tunic, which was without seam, woven in one piece from the top to the bottom. They said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to decide who shall have it." The scripture was thus fulfilled, which says, "They divided my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing." These things the soldiers did, and sitting down, they kept watch over him there. Over his head was put the charge against him. Pilate wrote the notice to be put on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." This title was read by many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near to the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. The chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "You should not write, 'The King of the Jews,' but 'This man said, I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." People stood by watching. Those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "Aha! You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." So also the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him to one another, saying, He saved others. He cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, now come down from the cross, that we may see and believe. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now, if he wants him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him wine and saying, If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. The thieves who were crucified with him also reviled him. And one of the criminals who hung there with him railed at him, Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, Do you not fear God, since you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are getting what we deserve for what we have done. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus said to him, Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Near to the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing near, he said to his mother, Woman, behold your son. Then he said to his disciple, Behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. About the ninth hour, thus 3 o'clock in the afternoon, about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of them that were standing there heard it, they said, He is calling for Elijah. After this, Jesus knew that all things were accomplished. Fulfilling the scripture, he said, I thirst. There was a jar of wine standing there. One of them ran immediately to get a sponge. He filled it with wine, put it on a reed, held it up to his mouth, and gave it to him to drink. Others said, Wait and see if Elijah will come to save him. When Jesus had received the wine, he cried out with a loud voice, It is finished. Then he said, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Having said this, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs broke open and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion who stood facing him saw how he died, he said, Truly, this man was the Son of God. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, today we focus on this Roman centurion. That was the man who was in charge of 100 soldiers. And he was authorized to crucify Jesus. What does that mean? That means he was authorized to take him to Golgotha, to nail him to a cross, and to make sure he stayed on that cross until his body was lifeless and dead. He had probably done that countless times prior to that particular day on that particular Good Friday. That centurion, as he stood there with his 100 men, making sure that these men on their crosses died, he heard what Jesus said from the cross. And it was very different than anything that anyone had ever said before. He experienced the eerie darkness that came upon the land at noon and continued until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He saw Jesus lay down his life. Not that someone took it from him, but when the time was right, when his work was finished, he laid it down. He also felt the earthquake that shook the entire place right when he died. And then he confessed, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." He was touched to the core of his being by what he experienced on that Good Friday. Why did he come to that conclusion? Think about Jesus being nailed to his cross. Can you imagine how much all of those criminals must have struggled? Not just the ones on that day, but all of them who were ever crucified, how much they struggled to not have nails pierce their hands and their feet. And can you imagine how Jesus maybe was the only one ever who willingly laid down on that cross and stretched out his arms and allowed them to fix him to that cross? That had to be so hard for him. And yet, what was he doing? He was being perfectly obedient to his Father in heaven. That was the plan. And then right after these nails pierced his body, what does he do? He prays, "Father, forgive them, because they do not know what they're doing. They don't understand that I'm your son. They don't understand that I'm about ready to bear their sins, even the sins of the entire world. So, Father, forgive them. All they're doing is their job. They don't understand who I am or what I'm about to do." And then that Roman centurion heard Jesus give great care for his mother. He's not going to be around to care for her. He is the oldest son. So now what? John was his closest friend, so John entrusts the care of his mother to him, and John accepts that responsibility. We know that Mary traveled finally to Ephesus and lived there with John until she finally died there. So John did take that responsibility. He did exactly what Jesus had requested of him. And then we think about Jesus making the promise to the criminal. Jesus certainly didn't look like a king about ready to enter his kingdom, but by the grace of God, he led that criminal to be sorry for his sins. He led that criminal to see that, in fact, Jesus is the promised Messiah. He gave him the gift of faith by which he was trusting in him, and then Jesus was able to say to him, "Don't worry, I know it's horrible now, but today, you are going to be with me in paradise." That is the dwelling place of God the Father. Heaven and paradise, same place. And then seeing Jesus lay down his life. Jesus talked about it in John chapter 10, how he has the authority to lay his life down, and he also has the authority to take it up again. With every other person who ever had been crucified, they had to hang there in misery until finally their bodies died. There was nothing else they could do. With Jesus, it was completely different. No one took his life from him. He could have hung there for days, weeks, years if he chose to do that. But he was there for a particular purpose, to take that sin, to take that punishment in full. And when that work was done, he let us know it was done, and then he laid down his life. Why is it that we have a great need for the Son of God? Well, we cannot save ourselves. God demands righteousness. God demands holiness, perfection. And yet none of us, no matter who we are, no matter how hard we try, we cannot attain what God requires. That is why we desperately need Jesus. We need a God-man. We need God to come in the person of a man so he can do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. And that is exactly what he did. So the Son of God put on human flesh, and he lived in our place. It says in Hebrews that he was tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he was without sin. So that is, in a sense, the first part of what he had to do, fulfill the law for us. And then, on the cross, that was the second part, taking all of our filthiness, all of our sin, and not only that, but taking the wrath of his Father, of the Almighty God, upon himself, paying the eternal punishment for all of that sin. And then he told us it was finished. And upon it being finished, what did that mean? That meant that through him, heaven was open for everyone. What good news! It doesn't matter how good we are, we can't make it. It doesn't matter how bad we are, because he took it all for us, and that means through him, heaven is open. May God help us to respond to him. How? First of all, understanding that all of us are deserving of hell. Some people would say, oh, I'm not that bad. But yet God tells us in his word, we are that bad, every one of us. So knowing we deserve hell, let us be sorry for our sins. God calls us to be that way. God wants to work that within us. And then he wants us to know that Jesus, he is God in human flesh. He did everything for everyone. And he's simply saying to us, you want to go to heaven, don't you? You deserve hell, but you want to go to heaven, don't you? So he's simply calling us to believe on his Son as our Savior. That is also something God has to give us. He gives us that gift of faith. So our faith is in him, not in general. Our faith is in him as the one by which we will enter into the gate of heaven. So Jesus opened the gate, and knowing him, God will welcome us in. Please join me in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, though we all deserve your wrath, you gave us your Son. Though we all deserve eternal punishment, you offer us the gift of forgiveness. Though we all deserve eternal banishment from your presence, you offer us eternal bliss in your glorious presence. Therefore, move us now and continue to move us to sincere sorrow, true faith, and much gratitude for your gift of life and heaven through Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. All the people who had gathered to see the sight, when they saw what had happened, turned away, beating their breasts. Those who had known him stood at a distance, as also the women who had followed him from Galilee. Among them was Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the younger, and of Joses, and Salome, the mother of the sons of Zebedee. It was a day of preparation before the Sabbath, and this was Passover Sabbath. Therefore, so that the bodies should not remain on the crosses during the Sabbath, the Jews asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies removed. Let us understand that the legs had to be used in order to continue breathing, because being in this position, you couldn't breathe unless you pushed yourself up. So without use of your legs, you would die very quickly. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. One who saw it is our witness, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, that you also may believe. These things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled. Not one of his bones shall be broken. And again, another scripture says, they shall look on him whom they pierced. By this time, evening had come. A respected member of the council, Joseph of Arimathea, was one who was looking for the kingdom of God, a good and righteous man who had not consented to their purpose and deed. He was a disciple of Jesus secretly, for he feared the Jews. Now he took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate was astonished that he could be dead already. He called for the centurion and asked him whether Jesus was already dead. When he was assured by the centurion that it was so, Pilate granted Joseph the corpse and commanded that it be given over to him. Joseph brought fine linen and came and took the body of Jesus. Nicodemus came also, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight. It was he who had first come to Jesus by night. They then took the body of Jesus and wrapped it in linen cloths with the spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb, where no one had ever been buried. Joseph laid the body in his own tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock, and rolled a great stone to the door of the tomb and departed. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, were sitting there opposite the sepulchre and saw where he was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath day, they rested according to the commandment. On the next day, the day after the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees went together to Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember what that impostor said while he was still alive. After 3 days, I will rise again. Therefore, command that the sepulchre be made secure until the third day, to stop his disciples from coming and stealing him, and saying to the people, 'He has risen from the dead,' making the final deception worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard of soldiers? Go and make it as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. Questions, needs, contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. This is our regular schedule: Sundays, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45, Mondays, service at 7 p.m. Now, may the Lord of peace continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all.